Welcome, everyone, to Church at Home. This is Fred Coulter, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that's why Church at Home. As we've mentioned quite a few times, that's where the church actually began. And really, when you come to understand it, that's the only place that you can have peace, that you can have quiet, because you can control it. Now, I don't know about your neighbor, if you have a neighbor who, you know, has a boom, 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 boom sound system. But let's continue on now with the series we've been doing on Sabbath keeping. Now, why is this series so long? Well, the answer is because there's so much to it. And if we take it segment by segment and put it together, we can understand each segment as we go along, then it's going to help you understand the magnitude and the scope of the deception of Sunday keeping. People take it for granted. Like this one woman who would go to her Presbyterian church for 20 years, and every Sunday she would say, I wonder why we don't keep the Sabbath, because she read her Bible enough to know that it talked about the Sabbath. Didn't find one day in there where it said Sunday. Now, one translator tried to do that, Revelation 1 and verse 10, and we'll get to that a little later on. But she couldn't figure it out. So she went to her minister, and this is the standard answer. Well, Jesus changed it. Or, well, the church changed it. Oh, okay. And people just go along their way, stay in their deception, and who's deceiving them? The ministers, pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, the bishops, the cardinals, the popes, the priests. Just like we read in the book of Ezekiel, those who are in charge of the law hid their eyes from God's Sabbath. Now, how do you hide your eyes from God's Sabbath? You never read about it. Yet God says, you shall not add to or take away from the Word of God. Now, if you don't read something and never read it and say, well, this doesn't apply, or you say, well, the whole Old Testament has been fulfilled when it hasn't been, and the law of Moses has been abrogated, which we saw it has not been, and when they say that, what are they doing? Well, they're just like cutting this part of the Bible out and saying, we don't need this, don't need that, don't need the other. So they can have the whole Bible, hold on to it, raise it up, use it in church services, but all that they neglect to teach, they're taking away from the Word of God. Have you ever thought of it that way? If you walk up to them and say, hey, you know, you're taking away from the Word of God. Why don't you read this back here, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What are we doing here on Sunday? Well, like one minister confessed to someone who was beginning to see about the Sabbath, he said, well, if I taught the Sabbath, I wouldn't have a congregation left. And what did that man who began to know the truth say? He loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. He loved the tradition of men, the hypocritical lying traditions of men, rather than the truth of God. Now, if you're a gambling person, what are the odds that you would find a scripture sanctifying Sunday instead of the Sabbath? Now, a lot of people gamble, don't they? How many people go out and buy a lotto ticket, and everyone who buys a lotto ticket thinks, well, I hope I'll win. Well, what are your chances of winning? One in how many million? Yet somebody always wins, but somehow it's not you, okay? Did you know that you would have greater odds of having an accident in your car driving home from buying a lotto ticket than you would of winning the lotto ticket? And what happens? What happens when they have Powerball? and Powerball comes up, and they have combined all of these lottos from the different states. And remember, I remember one that got up to $385 million. Boy, when it was up at $250 million and no one won. Boy, the money poured in. Everybody went out and they bought and they bought and they bought and they bought and they bought. And it swelled to $380 million for the winner. Well, eight people in a pool won. Did you know that those odds are better than finding authorization for keeping Sunday in the Bible? What are the odds, if you're a gambling person, of finding justification in the New Testament for keeping Sunday and eliminating the Sabbath? What are the odds? Ever thought about that? How about zero to infinity? Impossibility. Not so. Never happened. Yet, that's what the majority of professing Christians believe. Maybe they better check out by the Bible and ask the question, am I really a Christian or not? Now, we've got an article you can download, Who and What is a True Christian? And how do you become a true Christian? Because the way that you find it in the Protestant church today is a figment of the imagination. Though it sounds scriptural, it's a lie, it's a mirage, it's a deceit. What do they say? Oh, yes, you hear it. Every Protestant program and church service. How many here want to give their heart to the Lord? Don't even come forward now. You don't even have to walk down the sawdust trail anymore. Just stand wherever you are and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Didn't tell him what sin is. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. Lord, enter into my heart. Voila! You're born again. That is the greatest counterfeit lie that has ever been. And one man told me, well, at least they got him started. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're going to go on a 5,000-mile journey and you take the first step and you said, I've arrived, are you there? Not so. And yet people say, oh, I'm born again. Now, if you want an article on born again, you can also download that. We have it right on this website. What does it mean to be born again, and what is meant by born of God? Not what people say. Let me give you just one clue on born again. Jesus said, if someone is born again, they're like the wind. It can come and go wherever it wants to, and no one knows where it goes. John, the third chapter. So my test for someone who comes up to me and says, I'm born again. You know what my answer is? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Now, I'm going to go out in the other room here, and I want you to walk through the wall without breaking or disturbing anything or hurting yourself. And if you can walk through the wall, then I'll confess to you, you are born again. And if you can't do it, you better wake up and realize you ain't been born again, brother or sister. You believed a lie, a mirage, a fairy tale, just like Sunday keeping. Oh, but Fred Coulter, you're so hard on them. Why are you so mean? Am I? What is God going to say? What is His judgment going to be? I guarantee you, it's going to be a whole lot more harsh than whatever you think I possibly could ever say. And in bringing these things out, what am I trying to do? Ridicule them? No. Show the truth? True. Wake people up from their deception? Yes. get people to change and turn to the true Lord, Jesus Christ and God the Father in repentance and love? Yes, that's the purpose. Is that what you want? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that? Well, then there's a whole lot of learning you have to have. And a whole lot of unlearning you better get rid of. And a whole lot of sins you need to repent of. A lot of people think, well, I haven't committed a lot of serious sins. Let's ask how serious it is to keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath. Huh? Well, it doesn't kill anybody. Oh, really? It's not lying. Really? It's not stealing. Really? It's not bearing false witness. It's not coveting. It's not having other gods. All of the above it is. And as James said, if you break one law, the royal law, and the royal law is spiritually magnified by Jesus Christ, you've broken it all. So you can say, well, you know, I'm not a sinner like that person over there, that one over there. I've never done that. Well, let's put the Sunday shoe on and see the odds in the Bible, right from this booklet that we have, and you need to write for it, which day is the true Christian Sabbath, the day of the Lord, the true day of the Lord. You need that. And in order for you to understand how deceived you have been, you write for this one, a Sabbath Sunday challenge you have never read, written under the auspices of Cardinal Gibbon in 1893, directed to the Protestants, telling them there is not one scripture to justify Sunday keeping. We, the Catholic Church, have imposed it upon the world. Now, how many people think that Sunday is the day that Jesus Christ and the apostles kept? A lot of people do, but they didn't. How many people are told that it's no longer required to keep the seventh day Sabbath? You can keep Sunday. That is the day of worship. The Sabbath was nailed to the cross, as well as all the other law. Well, we'll also answer that scripture a little bit later. Have you heard that? Go to a Sunday-keeping church some Sunday and find out what they really teach. Now, they may be nice people. They may be sincere people. But does that mean that they're right? Does that mean that they're following what is true? Just because they pronounce, say, oh, know the Lord, brother. Do they know the Lord? Oh, see you in church on Sunday. All right? If you believe that Sunday is the day of worship for Christians, let's look at these things. That's going to be quite a long list. We also have it posted online for you. But here is what you are going to find. There is not one text that the Sabbath was ever changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. Not one. Remember the odds. Zero to infinity. And you're thinking that God is obligated to give you salvation because you're a good Sunday keeping going to church person? You think you're safe and secure in the Lord? Number two, there is not one text where the first day of the week is ever called a holy day, with the exception of the day of Pentecost, which falls on the first day of the week. That's an annual Sabbath. Number three, there is not one text where we are told to keep the first day of the week holy. Not one. And that's how this controversy started, that Cardinal Gibbon wrote the answer to And I think it's ironic. It was published in the Catholic Mirror every Sabbath for 4 weeks in a row. What it was back in 1893, the World's Fair. The Protestants came and said, we want this closed down on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists took them to court and said, hey, now wait a minute. You cannot do that. And so the judgment came down, no, you can't close down the fair. And so Cardinal Gibbon said, because the only ones he knew were keeping the Sabbath were Seventh-day Adventists, 1893, he said, you Protestants now, if you claim that you go by the Bible, solo scriptoro, by the word of God alone, and you keep Sunday, you're deluded. You're a fool. You're dreaming. That's what he wrote. So I challenge you, download it. Rome's challenge to the Protestants. We've got it right online. Number four, there is not one text that says Jesus ever kept the first day of the week. You think you could find a Sunday-keeping synagogue in Judea and Galilee? Come on. Number five, there is not one text where it says the first day of the week is ever given a sacred title. The day of the Lord, the Lord's Day. Oh, and how many Protestant preachers have I seen said, this is the day which the Lord has made. Really, he made all days, didn't he? But which one did he make holy? Not your Sunday. Number six, there is not one text that tells us to keep the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, another big subject we need to cover. Jesus was not resurrected Sunday morning. How could that be? I've heard that all my life. You've heard a lie all your life. Yes, you have. And I want you to figure this out. How can you get 3 days and three nights from Friday at sunset to sunrise Sunday morning? Jesus said he would be in heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He'd be resurrected the third day. You want to know the truth about that? You want to know what the knowledge of it is? You write for this book. We'll send it to you free. $16.95 book free. The day Jesus the Christ died. He was not crucified on Good Friday. What would be good about the day of a crucifixion? And he was never resurrected on Sunday morning. Does that shock you? Well, if it does, that just shows you how deceived you are. And that just shows you how you have believed the fairy tales and myths of men. Number seven, there is not one text that affirms that any of the apostles ever kept the first day of the week. This is shocking. This is stunning. Do you understand the odds in the Bible that you will find justification for Sunday keeping is zero to infinity? Well, Fred Calder, you must be teaching out of a different Bible. No, I'm teaching from the same Bible based on the same Greek that these other ministers claim to be preaching from. Number eight, there is not one text from any apostolic writings that authorizes Sunday observance as the Sabbath of God. But what do you find? We'll see a little later, as you'll find on Refuting Sunday Keeping, if you go to cbcg.org and download that series, 12 sermons, hour and a half long of Refuting Sunday Keeping. What do you find? You find the early church fathers. Now, isn't that a wonderful name, huh? That sounds almost real and authentic, doesn't it? We're talking about apostles before the so-called false early church fathers. Who were the early church fathers? They were the former priests of Mithra and Baal who practiced Sunday worship. in the Roman Empire. And they saw that there were so many Christians that they wanted to use the name of Jesus, because look at how many people would follow that. So they began all of these lies and all of these tales about the first day of the week. That's how it got started. Not from Christ, not from the apostles, not from the Bible. Remember, the odds are zero to infinity. There is not one text where it says it was customary for the church to observe and meet on the first day of the week. Number 10, there is not one text where we are told not to work on the first day of the week. Number 11, there is not one text where any blessings are promised for observing Sunday. Isn't that something? Has the Christian world been deceived? Yes, indeed. Who is the great deceiver? Who is the great liar? Satan the devil. And he's called the God of this world. And he comes and appears as an angel of light. And all of his ministers, oh yes, he has ministers, appear as ministers of righteousness. Well, they're not. They're all wolves in sheep's clothing. Oh, but my Sunday minister is nice. He wouldn't be like that. He's so kind and tender and good. Really? Give him a test. Ask him about the Sabbath. Ask him why he doesn't keep it and teach it. You'll see another side to your minister you never saw before, because now you've exposed his spot, place in his mind, because years ago he crossed the road. Everyone who is a minister knows which day is a Sabbath, but justify Sunday. Think about it. The odds that Sunday is the day God sanctified and uses today is zero to infinity. Isn't that amazing? I want to tell you a little bit more about this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now, I wrote this book to show the importance of the sacrifice of Christ and the day on which he was crucified. And that was on the Passover day. And guess what? I don't know how many of you saw the movie by Mel Gibson concerning the Passion of the Christ, but not once did he mention the Passover day. And though it graphically showed what Jesus went through with the beating and scourging, all of the rest of it is based upon Catholic tradition. And there is so much missing that Mel Gibson did not even show one half of the truth about the crucifixion and passion of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, oh, what a wonderful thing. Parts of it were very good. But if you leave out the truth, what is your story? If you don't understand about the true day that Jesus the Christ died, how are you going to understand what it was all about? You can't. And Jesus was, as you'll find in this book, in the grave 3 days and three nights, just as he said. Well, thank you for inviting me into your home. I know we're touching some pretty sore spots. And I know some people will say, well, you know, can't you be a little more friendly? Well, I suppose I could, but how am I to address the truth when people have been deceived for so long? So I'm happy that you invited me into your home, and I hope that this helps you get your bearing on what the truth is, who the true God is, who the true Jesus Christ is, and that you begin to orient your life according to the way that God wants it. And we'll be glad to help you at any time that we can. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone, until next time.